This week's mailbag comes to us from Cynthia. Having the Sunday basket has eliminated my paper pile in the kitchen, and having a place to put my to-dos on index cards has helped me free my mind and get stuff done. It makes a huge difference to go through all the papers in the Sunday basket weekly. I went from a monthly calendar review to a weekly review. The time used to sort the week's papers has made sure things get taken care of that week and not lost in a paper pile. Things get done because I plan them and schedule them to get done. I have put in place several slash pockets for longer projects, like a trip to Ireland next year. I am not sure that will happen now, but I can still dream about it and have a place for those plans in my pink slash pocket. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. You know that I am an out-of-the-box thinker. As a matter of fact, I rarely even realize there's a box to be thinking in. But this COVID-19 pandemic situation has had even people like me going, what is going on? How do we make sense of all of this? And in the next couple of podcasts, I am going to break down for you all of the analysis I have been doing over the summer, what I now see as the trends and is happening inside of society, what's happening in our homes, and what we can do about it. And one of the things that we're starting to see a lot in customer service, and our team really is bringing to my attention, is that there is a lot more anxiety and depression amongst everyone now. And we want you to get the help that you need. So we here at Organize 365, I am going to motivate you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to inspire you. I'm going to put words to thoughts that you've had but haven't been able to articulate. But we cannot support you on your mental health journey. And if you need to seek out a counselor, I suggest you do so. Now, I have not used BetterHelp, but I've heard them advertised on other podcasts. I went and checked out their website. I read the reviews. That is a way that you could reach out and get counseling within, I think, a couple of days, right from the privacy of your own home. But do your own Google search. Reach out to family and friends. Figure out a way that you can talk to a mental health professional if you are struggling now more than you have in the past, or if you're struggling and you've never struggled before. It is our heart's desire to serve you in every way possible in your home, but if medical needs are necessary, we ask you to seek medical attention. Now, on to the show. Last week, I talked to you about how we're basically all living in a snow globe, and any random morning or afternoon, all of a sudden, a directive from your governor can come down, or something can happen with your work or with your kids or in your home or in your community, and you feel like they took your house and shook it up like you're in a snow globe, and now you're running around chasing all these little pieces again, finding toilet paper and just putting all your schedule back together. That is problem number one of living in this interim normal. We are not in control of what happens in our city, with our government, in our jobs, with ordinances, with this pandemic. There's a lot that we don't control. But hopefully, after we went through that list of seven things last week, you realize that not all seven are a problem for you and your family. While you probably did have a few things on my list that are challenging right now and do change when that snow globe gets shaken up, it's not everything. And if you only look for solutions to the things that are actually issues for your family, you'll have less anxiety and you'll feel a little bit more in control. Today, I want to talk about a second concept that I discovered this summer as I was really trying to articulate and figure out how I was feeling and why life just feels so hard right now. It feels so hard. And normally, like, I have a can-do attitude. I'm like Tigger the tiger, and I'm jumping around. I'm all happy, go lucky. And For the most part, on most days, I'm still that way. Even with the pandemic, my level of anxiety is higher. I had no anxiety before this. I definitely have anxiety now. And I do find days where I just feel like, ugh, like, is this ever going to end? Is this worth it? Like, and I definitely have some depressive type thoughts. And I finally figured it out. A few weeks ago, I was like, oh, I know exactly what it is. And here's what it is, at least according to me. There is no flow. There's no flow. I am a person who is always walking first. Wherever we're going, I'm at the front of the line, I'm walking. So Greg and I can be on vacation, or he's picking me up from the airport or whatever, and we're leaving the airport, and I'm walking in front of Greg into the parking lot. And he will say to me, do you know where the car is parked? And I'm like, no. But I am walking quickly with focus to no destination whatsoever. Like, I am always leading. I'm always going. I'm always setting goals. I am on a mission. I am going in a quick manner, and I don't even know where I'm going. And I create flow. And my energy and my momentum for you, you tell me this all the time. You're like, I'm just going to sit here. All right, I'll turn on a podcast. And you're sitting on your couch and you're listening to this podcast. And the next thing you know, you're picking up, you're doing the dishes, you start a load of laundry, you're decluttering. Like, the energy of my voice gets you to take action. I've always been this way. I would create games out of my head and get kids I babysat for and my sister to play them. I create games out of, like, I can entertain myself inside of my head. Like, I just create. I am a creator. I create momentum. I create flow. The pandemic stopped us all. And when it stopped us, it stopped the hustle and the bustle and the flow. It's so interesting. And the first couple days and weeks of the whole United States lockdown. By the time everybody decided to stay at home in the beginning of April, they were showing how we could hear different sounds inside of different cities and that the noise pollution level in cities had gone way down because people weren't traveling anymore. And just the general, the hustle and bustle had left. If you left your house during that time, as I did to get onion rings, which never closed, by the way, and got in your car and drove, wasn't it weird? Like, it was very eerie to go out on the streets, and literally I could go drive, get my onion rings and come back and pass like five cars in 45 minutes. There was no one on the road. Everyone was at home. I remember when the quarantines lifted towards the end, there was a meme that went around from healthcare workers that said, hey, I know you guys have been home and all, and you're about to return to work, but just so you know, I can get to work in 15 minutes now. It used to take 45 minutes. Do not mess that up when you go back to work, which is funny. But the flow stopped. The hustle and the bustle literally stopped. And I remember media saying, well, we've turned the economy off. I hope we can turn it back on again. And I thought about it as in people buying and purchasing. And I was still buying and purchasing from home, and we were still running Organized 365. And from that standpoint, the economy has been turned back on again. Not at the same rate, and the money is not flowing in the same areas, but the money is flowing. We'll talk about where the money is flowing next week. But in addition to the economy being stopped, we stopped everyone. Like, we stopped the whole momentum and the hustle and bustle inside of the cities, inside of your school, inside of your neighborhood, inside of your office, inside of your store. We stopped all of that and we put up all of these limitations. So I thought to myself, when are other times in history when the flow has stopped? What was that like and how did the flow come back? So the one time that I can remember an experience that was similar to how we stopped during the shutdown in the global pandemic was September 11th. On September 11th, Abby was 4 weeks old, 4 or 5 weeks old, and Joey was not quite two yet. And I remember I was in the kitchen, and the kids were sitting there having their breakfast, and I was doing the dishes and yammering on the phone to somebody, and I didn't watch a lot of media at that time. And Greg called me from the office. So Greg is always listening to AM radio, and he said, turn on the TV. I said, what channel? He said, any of them. And I turned it on and immediately saw what was happening. I think the first plane had hit the first tower at that time. I proceeded to watch the TV. Greg obviously had to get off the phone, and then my phone rang again, and it was a friend of mine from Bible study. Now, I was 29 at the time. She was maybe 24, 25, and she was a manager already of people, and she called me, and she said, "Lisa, I have employees on planes right now in the air. What do I do?" And I'm like, "You're asking me? I'm feeding babies Cheerios in the kitchen. How do I know what you're going to do with people?" I couldn't believe she would call me and ask me. And all I did was pray with her. And I said, "I have no idea." She got off the phone. Then my neighbor across the street, there were two neighbors across the street, and they had children at home also, and they were stay-at-home moms. And one called, and we called the other one, and the three of us ended up going down to one of the neighbor's houses. And we had the TV on in the background. And when the second plane hit the second tower, or the second plane hit the second tower while I was still at home, when the tower started to collapse, we realized that our kids, who were very little, I think they were, maybe one of them was five, but I think she was four, and they were like four down to zero. We had a bunch of newborns as well. And we turned the TV off, and we stopped watching it, and we started talking about, what does this mean for our country? What does this mean for our families? What does this mean for our economy? One of these people was from New York, had family members in New York. The other one had, her spouse had workers that were also in New York as well. And we spent the morning just kind of talking through what we were going to do. Like, just what are we going to do as families? Now, I live in Westchester, Ohio, which is kind of halfway between downtown Cincinnati and downtown Dayton. And we are 45 minutes away from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. But if you recall, the 5 or 6 days after 9/11 happened, there was no airplane traffic whatsoever. And every once in a while, I was outside yesterday and I heard it. You can hear the airplanes as they circle to land in the Northern Kentucky Cincinnati Airport, which is like an hour from here. So they do the loop and then they landed. So I can hear airplanes. And I remember, just like with the pandemic, how quiet it was. Like, people didn't stop going to work when 9/11 happened, but the hustle and bustle slowed, like all air traffic stopped, and it also stopped in the sky, which meant you didn't hear like airplanes go overhead. But what you could hear from 45 minutes away was the sonic booms of jet planes taking off from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base over and over and over and over again. Because Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, they have a lot of jets, and they take off and they service the northeastern region. So they were taking off all day on September 11th and the following days. That's the only real noise you heard, was fighter jets from 45 minutes away taking off. And when I thought about 9/11, I mentioned last week that when the 2008-2009 recession happened, our family financially suffered. I know now there was a recession in 2001 that followed 9/11, but it didn't affect my husband's business and it didn't affect my direct sales business. And I don't really remember it affecting my family and friends. They weren't in those industries. And the reason why I say that is because we're going to talk about economics next week and what I see going on in economics, but each catastrophic event, the pandemic, 9/11, some of the other ones that I'm going to mention, they don't impact everyone equally at the same time. So while there was a recession, that one did not impact me. How did we get out of 9/11? In my view, for our family, I had little babies. I was very busy. I was sleep deprived. I remember the sadness and the nationalism that I felt for a long time. But as far as my day-to-day getting back to normal, that happened within a couple of weeks. Within a couple of weeks in Cincinnati, Ohio, far away from New York City, taking care of a not even two-year-old and a newborn, my day-to-day didn't change very much. And as a matter of fact, my business did better because I sold scrapbooks. And that's what everybody was thinking, was how do I preserve these photos for my family in case I'm gone. The second time when I could think of in history when everything stopped, similar to how everything has stopped in the pandemic, was the Great Depression. And when we first started into the pandemic, I downloaded a book. I think it's called The Forgotten Man. It's a diary of someone, ironically, from Ohio. He was a, lawyer or an accountant, but I think he was a lawyer. And he kept a diary of everything that happened during the Great Depression. I read that while we were quarantined. I know. Lisa, could you pick something a little bit lighter, please? No, I had to research. I had to figure out what was going on. And I had studied the Great Depression before, and I know that the stock market crash of 1929 was not the Great Depression. It was the catalyst for it, but most people's lives did not change in 1929. They actually changed in 1931, and they were to a completely depressive level in 1932. And reading this diary of, I mean, the conditions, we can't even fathom the conditions here in the United States, at least I can't. Of people were going to work and they were earning 25% of what they were paid, but they're only producing like a tenth of what they used to produce. And even what they were producing wasn't being sold. And there was just, banks were closing. People owed people money, but they didn't have money to pay it. But even if you had money, you couldn't spend it. People were starving. Like, it was horrible. It was horrible. And things were tried over and over again to change it, but it wasn't able to be changed. And in both cases, in both 9/11 and in the Great Depression, some of the economic stimulus and things that really put businesses back to work were going to war. Like in the past, before now, a war will generate a lot of economy. And the works projects that came out in the Great Depression. I choose works projects in case anybody's listening for how we're going to get out of a bad economy. I think there's a lot of bridges that need fixed. Let's fix the ones that we built during the Great Depression, okay? And then the third time that this came to mind, I haven't done a lot of research on this yet, so I could be wrong, but the third time that I've thought of where the world kind of stopped and has always intrigued me, but I've never really looked into it yet and boggled my mind is the Dark Ages. Like, I remember being in school and you learned all about Rome and the Roman Empire, and then you learned about China, and then you learned about England, and there was this whole 10 centuries in the middle that they just called the Dark Ages, and there was nothing to learn about that period. And I was like, how can you live for like 1,000 years and there's nothing from that whole period of time? Like, you have all of this information from all of these other times, but not from this 10,000 years. What is up with that? So I just did a quick Google search before I started this. I am not an authority on any of these things, of course, but it was the fall of Rome happened. Then we have this huge period of the Dark Ages. And then we have the story of England. All three of those examples, the flow stopped. Like, the stock market crashed, people went into depression. Rome fell, you went into the Dark Ages. 9/11 happened, all airline traffic stopped, and some industries went away. When the flow stops, when the hustle and bustle stops, how do you get it started again? That is the question. How do you get it started again? And the reason why I bring this up is because I'm a flow maker. I know that, and I'm still making flow. You may not be a flow maker. You may be a follower, and you find good leaders to follow. And as they have energy and they have momentum, you grab onto that and you use that to get you started. And if that is how you function, it's totally fine. But a lot of the leaders that you are following, or the flow that was in place, like get the kids up, get them on the bus, get them to school, get in the car, go to work. Okay, we don't have that job anymore. Like, some of the things that would get you going in your flow went away, and now you find yourself standing in a puddle without even a ripple in it. And you don't know what to do because you never in your life have created your own flow. You never in your life haven't been in school or at work or had something that you needed to do. And I could be way off. But this is what I finally thought. I thought, that's it. Greg will say to me all the time, Lisa, can we go with the flow? Which what he means is, can you please not be the leader right now? Like, especially if we're on a family vacation with his family. And I have learned one time a year, for 1 week a year, I am not the leader. But other than that, I am the way maker, baby. I am the flow maker. And I love that. I love planning and thinking and orchestrating and moving all of the things around in my head and in person. And I love that. I love to do that. And I am still doing that. But some of your friends that you've been following or family members that you've been following that did that for you, and then you would go with the flow that they created. If they stopped creating flow, you also have no flow. And find new flow. Find new flow. That's one of the things I want to say. That's great, Lisa. Where do I buy flow? Is it available on Amazon? Can I have it shipped next day, please? The way you find flow is through schedules and routines. I knew it sounds so boring, but it's so true. Like the law of physics, an object in motion tends to remain in motion. If you are sitting on the couch scrolling Netflix, how hard is it to turn Netflix off and not scrolling Netflix, scrolling Instagram? How hard is it to turn the Instagram off and get up versus just moving to the Facebook app, which is what I do? Then I go over to the New York Times app. Then I'm like, ooh, maybe somebody posted it on Instagram in that 30 minutes. Back to the Instagram app. You know you do the same thing. Or you're watching one show on Netflix and you look to the person next to you and you go, one more? Yep. Click play again. Another 45 minutes to an hour is gone, right? Like, you're not in motion. You're just scrolling or watching. How easy is it to continue to scroll and watch? Really easy. How hard is it to say, I'm turning the phone off and I'm going to go clean out a closet, read a book, go for a drive, call my sister. What, you know, like to actively do something is so hard when you're not in motion. Conversely, if you wake up and your morning routine is to shower and get dressed and put your makeup on, by the way, I never stopped doing that when the pandemic started. I didn't do any of these like business on top, party on the bottom type outfits. Like business all day. Like I learned when I turned 40 that how I dress is how I feel. So I don't wear pajamas all day. I don't even own sweatpants. Like, okay, jeans. But hey, jeans hold it in. So it's different. For me, during the entire pandemic, I get up, I shower, I put on my full makeup, I get dressed every single day. When you do that, how much easier is it then to start a load of laundry, do the dishes, run to the grocery store? But if you wake up and you change into different sweats or just stay in your pajamas, how much do you feel like throwing in a load of laundry, doing the dishes, and going to the grocery store? Not at all, because you're wearing clothes that say, let's take a nap. It's okay. You just woke up 30 minutes ago. Let's take a nap now. So those structures, those routines, that schedule gets your body going. Here's a better example. So many of you tell me that you do this. I have taught you that there is a startup to getting organized, and it is this. You walk into any space that you want to get organized, and what do you say? I heard you. Trash, trash, trash. And you pick up any trash that you see. Next, laundry, laundry, laundry. And you pick up any laundry because it's in every room in our house, even more so now than it was in the past. What's number three? Food and dishes, food and dishes, food and dishes. And by the end of that 5 to 15 minutes, what do you do next? You're now primed. I have taught you. I've created a script. You've developed a routine that when you walk into a chaotic space, you pick up the trash, then you pick up the clothes, then you pick up the food and dishes, and the next thing you know, you're organizing a drawer, you're cleaning off a counter, you're organizing a bookshelf, you're emptying a linen closet, because your body knows that, oh, once I do those three things, then I do a 15-minute activity. You've learned. You've just learned a habit and routine. During the pandemic, both of my kids who know this whole thing and know how to do clean and organize their rooms, both called me and said, I'm overwhelmed. Where do I start? And I said, pick up the trash and call me back. Okay, what's next? Pick up the laundry. Get your laundry started. And then neither of them called me. They went on to food and dishes and cleaning their rooms. It's the getting started. It's not the knowing how to or having this superb routine that you could put on the internet. You heard mine. I get up, I shower, I do my makeup, I get dressed. That's my whopping morning routine. There is nothing I've ever added to it. I prefer to get started on work right away. I don't do meditation. I don't walk. I don't do any of the other things that people do in their morning routines. So that will get you started. Get up. Shower, or at least get dressed, whatever. Get dressed in your daily program and figure out what is best for your morning, afternoon, and evening routine. And here is the secret. only add one thing at a time. Decluttering is easy. It's labor intensive, but it's easy. And you see such an amazing result when you declutter a closet or you clear out a room. You see such a wow, it's amazing that we did that. It's so different. Organizing looks great at the end, but have you ever noticed that if you don't need to declutter very much and you do a before and after where all you're doing is reorganizing drawers and stuff, like it looks better, but it looks like 10% better. It doesn't look 90% better like a decluttering photo does. And yet the room functions 90% better because organizing increases your productivity, right? So that's what organizing ends up doing. It ends up giving you time, and time isn't something that you can show inside of a photograph. Habits take a long time to develop. I think they used to say 21 days. Now they say 42. They don't know. Whatever. It takes a long time. It takes a long time to develop a habit. So if you have gotten into the accidental habit, those are really easy to develop, by the way. During the pandemic of wearing super casual clothes or wearing your pajamas all day or no longer wearing anything that has a button at the waist, maybe step one is you're just going to get dressed every day. I remember when Joey was two and I followed Fly Lady, her number one thing was get dressed to your shoes or shine your sink and then get dressed to your shoes. And I will tell you, there was a solid year in my life where my two goals were to make sure that the kitchen didn't have any dishes at the end of the day and to get dressed and put my shoes on in the morning. Like, that's what I was able to do. So is that what you're able to do? Like, there is something about getting dressed. You don't have to put on a business suit, but put on something fun, like that you would go out with your girlfriends in. Put on, look good for yourself. Look good for yourself. So it's your morning routine. Your afternoon routine, I think, is the most important. This is when you shut down from work and you go into your evening, or you close down from schooling from home, or whatever the thing is that you're doing today that is taking up all your time and filling your day. When that is over, before you go to the dinner and your evening activities, what do you do? For me, I manually power down my computer. If you're working from home now and you haven't in the past, power it down, baby. Power it down. Power down the computer. I always look at what I have on my calendar for tomorrow and I write out my index card. Now, pre-pandemic, if I didn't write out an index card of what I was doing the next day, meh, I'd still be 85% as effective as I would have been without the index card. Now, my productivity level without writing down what I'm doing the next day is 20 to 30%. 20 to 30%. And let me just tell you, that 20 to 30% is what most people get done in a day. But I get done what most people get done in like 2 to 3 days. I get a lot done during my days. And COVID stole that from me. Like, I was not as effective and productive. And I'm not saying you have to be super productive and every minute of your day needs to be ordered. It will make you feel better. You will get a lot more done and you won't have as much decision fatigue and you won't be as tired at the end of the day. I promise you all those things. Just try it. Not a legal pad, not a whole planner. Just grab a simple index card. Look at your calendar for tomorrow. What obligations are on there? Write those on your index card. Look at your possibilities lists of what you want to get done or what needs to get done around the house for your family, for yourself, and then make yourself a schedule. So 7:30, get up, get ready. 8:30, record Instagram. This is what mine says. 9 o'clock, record podcast. 10 o'clock this, 11 o'clock this. And when I have that index card and I look at it, I just start crossing things off and I plow through that thing without having to make any decisions. I just get to do. Even though a lot of those things are on my Google Calendar, what I do in between my meetings and my assigned tasks is not, and that time ends up getting wasted. I'll just check Instagram for a minute, 45 minutes later. Me too, you guys, me too. That's why I know it's a thing. Power down your computer, make an index card for the next day. If that's the only thing you do this fall is add in this afternoon routine of powering down your computer and making an index card the next day, I promise you, you will be so much more productive and have more time than you've ever had in your life if you haven't done these two activities. And then the final one is your evening routine. My evening routine, super simple, shocker. I take a bath. It's pretty much the whole evening routine. I take a bath, I take vitamins. And then I usually watch TV with Greg, or I scroll Instagram for hours, or I read a book. It doesn't matter. It's my time. I don't make all of my time be productive. I honestly, since the pandemic started, haven't been doing as many puzzles. I can't figure out why that is, because I clearly have enough time. I just think at night, I'm actually just laying in bed watching TV with Greg. I'm not doing a puzzle and watching with Greg. I'm just more tired. I'm more mentally exhausted than I ever have been before. And I don't have the same capacity that I had in February of 2020. So if you're feeling that way and you're wondering, I wonder if Lisa's feeling that way. I am human. Yep, we all are. I don't know anybody that is as effective and productive today as they were in February of 2020. Like, we're getting closer, but it's just, where did Greg and I go the other day? And we walked in there, we're like, do you have a reservation? I'm like, no. And I realized, you have to have a reservation for everywhere now, everywhere. So I was in the car with Abby, taking her somewhere, and she was going to take the little kids that she watches to the museum center. Their parents are fine with it, by the way. So she checked online, and she was like, okay, they're only open till 4. I'm like, wow, I wouldn't have checked that. I would have shown up at 3, and like, we would have been done. So she calls, and she says, do we need a reservation? I'm like, reservation? And they said no. And I was like, reservation? She's like, well, yeah, you have to call and see if places have reservations. The next day is when Greg and I are like, I don't know, we're at a restaurant with nobody in it and you need a reservation. And I realized we need reservations for everything. Now, my daughter has figured this out clearly. And so before she goes anywhere, she checks to see if it's open and if they need a reservation. It's like she intuitively knew that. Why did it take me so long to realize we now need reservations for basically everything we do in life? We took her to get her fingerprints. You need a reservation for that now. You need a reservation. Like, I don't think that way. I have 48 years of not having thought that I need a reservation if I'm leaving my house. But basically, in case you didn't know, if you're going anywhere, you probably need to tell them you're coming and make a reservation. I mean, anywhere. So that mental of, okay, I'm going to go do this. Oh, are they still having those hours? Do I need a reservation now? Oh, their hours changed and I do need a reservation. Now I can't do this at that time. Now I've just wasted all this time and I haven't gotten done whatever I needed to get done. And I'm frankly frustrated because why do we have to, you know what I mean? Because we just go off on that rabbit trail. So a morning, an afternoon, and an evening routine. And so in my evening routine, I have a puzzle and I do it a couple of times a week. Now what I have started doing is on the weekend, like a Saturday or Sunday, starting my puzzle at like 4 or 5 in the afternoon. Like I'll take my bath at like 4 or 5 in the afternoon and do my puzzle until 8 and then watch TV until 10 because by then my brain is too tired. So give yourself more time to do what you love. And if you used to do that in the evening like I did, don't do that because you won't have time for what you love. So my bath. Some people have asked about my bath. Sometimes it's 5 minutes long. Sometimes it's 30 minutes long. I like a hot bath. Sometimes it has Epsom salts. Sometimes it doesn't. Actually, lately, I haven't needed as many Epsom salts. I usually hold a lot of stress in my back and my shoulders. And ironically, during the pandemic, I haven't. I don't even know what's up with that. But I like Dr. Teal's, I think it is. And I like the eucalyptus kind. So sometimes I'll put a whole bag in there, like if it's been a long week, because it's detoxifying. I love that. And then I'll sit in there for like 20 minutes. Sometimes I just put a cup in or I will put none in. And then I do my facial care routine while I'm in the bath. I love Kirkland's brand towels. They're like $6. And I love their washcloths. And a treat for me is to buy new washcloths every 6 months. I know it's kind of ridiculous. And I only use a washcloth once. So I have like 7 washcloths. Don't judge me. Anyways, they're super soft. So I'll get them super wet. And then I just hold them over my face. And I do that numerous times. And it really just helps me relax and helps my face relax. And then I use pharmacy brand Green Clean. My friend Danielle told me about this. And it takes all of my makeup off. And then I have a Mary Kay cleanser that I use a couple times a week. And then there is, oh, I'll walk in and tell you all these brands. And then my friend Danielle, who knows everything skincare related, told me about this. And I use this 2 or 3 times a week. And it is called Peter Thomas Roth Firming Peeling Gel. The title scared me. I bought it. Didn't use it for months. Now I use it 2 or 3 times a week. I love it. And then when I get out of the bath, I put on my face one of two different things. One is the Fresh brand Rose Deep Hydrating Sleeping Mask, because I use that first. When I run out of that, though, I probably won't rebuy it. And the second one, brace yourself when you see the price, is Kate Somerville Wrinkle Warrior. Again, my friend Danielle had me switch to Kate Somerville, so I will do that a couple times a week, and I do the other one until I run out, which is going to be months from now because I always stock up. So that's my little evening routine, is I take a hot bath, sometimes I take Epsom salts, and I am doing better skincare than I used to. I didn't used to do such good skincare until the last couple of years. And then I watch TV with Greg. Now, some of you have said, you take a bath, what do you do while you're doing your bath? So this is my pandemic routine because I can't watch the news, stresses me out. There's usually not enough time to watch a TV show. It's hard to listen to a podcast when you're in a bath. So what do? I have my own virtual TV show. Did you know that? No, not really. So I will turn on Instagram and I prop my phone up. There's a ledge I have in my bath that's safe for my phone to be there. Plus my phone's waterproof, so I don't worry about it. But I prop my phone up and I open up my Instagram. And I go to Instagram stories and I start the first one. And then I just watch it like it's my own reality TV show. And all the people that I follow on Instagram, I literally watch their stories one after the next, after the next, after the next. Sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's 20 minutes. And I love it because it's all people that I want to follow and I want to see what they're doing. And I would rather do that while I'm sitting in my bath than laying in bed. So that's what I do. So that is my evening routine. You can see how my morning, afternoon, and evening routines, super simple. They're super simple. But the morning one gets me up in the right frame of mind. The afternoon one closes down the work, helps me plan tomorrow, moves me into my evening. And the bedtime one is just relaxing and fun. And so that is enough of a routine for me. You don't need to create these elaborate 20-point morning, afternoon, and evening routines. They're really just designed to shift your body to move into the next phase of your day. Okay, so that's all I have to say about this. So last week we talked about what truly are issues and what aren't issues for us. Like, when is our snow globe getting shaken up and when is it not? This week we talked about why we're stuck in a puddle and there's no flow around us. You got to go find some flow makers. And then these routines, these little simple routines that you can start. And if you just make very simple morning, afternoon, evening routines, it's going to take you 6 months to really do that on a consistent basis. I highly suggest having a note card in each place. You get up, read the note card. These are the three things I'm doing. It's 4 o'clock. You read the note card. These are the two things I'm doing. It's evening. You read the note card. These are the two things I'm doing. Like, until it is second nature. It will take 6, maybe 9 months. But doing this, establishing simple morning, afternoon, and evening routines that move you through your day will pay benefits for the rest of your life. Next week, I'm going to talk about the third and final thing that I noticed when I was really thinking through this summer about how things are changing for us, and it's how we use our house and where our economy is going. I'll see you then.